You probably all noticed that yesterday there was a lot of commotion in the theatre. I don't know if everybody knows, and that is why I want to say it officially this morning. Yesterday afternoon, we got to know here at Odin Theatre that Augusto Mulu, who is one of the actors of Odin Theatre and the master of the Afro-Brazilian candomblé tradition in the ISTA, International School of Theatre Anthropology, had been stabbed to death the night before. Of course, this for us was a shock. But we know that Augusto would like us to continue working. I have asked Parvati to sing a song for Augusto. And I have asked her because I know that even though they don't know each other, they share a wisdom that comes both from a tradition and from a need to innovate this tradition, to keep it alive, and a great knowledge which belongs to the body. But I also asked Parvati because the very first time Augusto came here to Odin Theatre, he worked together with Sanjukta Panigrahi. Sanjukta Panigrahi is the Odissi dancer who founded ISTA together with Eugenio and others. And Sanjukta was responsible for teaching Augusto the first possibilities of modulating his craft. And I always feel that a little bit of Sanjukta is in Parvati. So that's why I want her to sing for Augusto.
I would like you to join me at the end of the song. And the word is Hari Om. Hari Om is peace from which we are born and where we go back.
I have dedicated this transit to Erika. I never met Erika, and therefore I have asked Manuela, who is the director of the group of which Erika was part, to come here to talk to you about it.
Erika died last October. She was killed by her ex-husband, and she left a child, Sophia, who is 4 now. And when Julia asked me to say a few words about Erika, I found it very difficult to try to portray her to people who didn't meet her. So I thought of a poem by Wisława Szymborska that says something like this, that death is really clumsy and death doesn't know anything about stars, bridges, working in the fields and making cakes. And it's very clumsy because it can't even build a coffin or dig a ditch or clean the mess it leaves behind. But since every life has been immortal, at least for a moment, death is always late of this moment. So what I would like to do is to speak of this immortal moment, if it's possible. Erika joined our group when she was young. She was 21, and she worked with us for 7 years. And we went through different phases of the work, because when she joined the group, I was trying to understand what it meant to be a director, and of course I was trying to teach her to be an actress. So it was like learning together. And then we made together what I still think is the most loved performance for us. And after that, the group exploded. And so we went through hating, I think, each other for a while. And then a new phase started about independence, about how an actress can be independent from the director, and how can she can do things and produce material without the director supervising everything. Erika has a very strong presence on stage, and I just remember last night that we went together to a workshop, and at the workshop the people came to me and said, but who is she? Because she's so young, but she's so powerful. And then I remember another thing that used to drive me mad, because she struggled with props. And sometimes she brought props, and I got mad about it. But it was her way to approach what she needed to know about the props, the costumes, the material she was going to produce. And I think that is a sort of an example of how she struggled to achieve what she wanted. She struggled to do theater because her ex-partner didn't want her to do theater. And she struggled to do theater when she became a mother, because it was difficult to find time to do theater and to be a mother at the same time. And what I like to remember about her is that she taught us, all the group, a lesson. How to make the most of the time we have, because she didn't have much time to work with us. So when she worked with us, we had to make the most of it. And when she died, we were working on Danse Macabre. And it was terrible, because all of a sudden, death entered the working room, for real. But my actors, I didn't want to enter the working room, and I didn't enter the working room for a while. But what happened was that my actors taught me a lesson, because they did enter the working room and start working on new materials and change a performance we already have at to make it to have it dedicated to Erika. And I want to finish saying that what she has left a child that is very lively and very strong and very powerful and strong will as her mother. The child was in the working room with us most of the time. And our task now, I think two, as a theatre group, is to remember her through theatre and to try and protect her child. Because the man who killed Erika comes from a very rich and powerful country, a family, and that counts, unfortunately, in Italy. So what we want to do is to try to protect the child and try to remember her through theatre.
Let's sing like birds in a cage and pray we will live and sing and tell old tales.
حبيبي اللي يسفور بعيدا لبحات سلي لا يذهب حتى ولا يسأل حتى أنا حبيبي حبيبي اللي حبيبي ندهلي اللي شت الرهى رجعت لأمامي وزاد فاه حبيبي ندري اللي شفت الرهى رجعت لأمامي وزاد فاه وانا على دربو ودربو الجمال والشمس المحبة كجنة سري أنا لحبيبي حبيبي اللي يسفو بعيدا لبحات السلي لا
Look! Look! I am flying! I am free, like a bird let out of its cage! I am flying like a laughing wind! I am free! Let's sing! Let's sing! I am free! Free!
In these days, when I had to present myself, I said I was an actress. Many of you said that on top of being actresses, you were directors, producers, organizers. And of course, that is true for me too. But what I want to defend is that I am an actress. And that is the main force on which I stand. Then we asked each other what word we would combine with risk, crisis, tension. And my word was time. Being an actress needs a time which is completely different from the normal time. And I have to struggle a lot to protect that time. That is for me something I really need to do. It is as if it is around that that everything else grows. I have decided as an actress that I would make a new work demonstration. I want to make a work demonstration about characters. This is the costume. I have never worn it before. I know that Scheherazade will be in the work demonstration. Scheherazade comes from the performance Andersen's Dream. Like many of my characters, she also wants to keep on telling stories. She has not finished her life. And I have to listen to what she has to say. So I use the opportunity which comes to me, which is the meeting that we have this morning. I take the risk of making the first step. I know that will bring a big crisis. Because I have to invent a new work demonstration. Once I have told you that I would do it, I have to do it. And I will have to find that precious time of an actress, which is so different from the time of the world which is outside the working space. In these days, the word truth has been going round in my head. It is a word that somehow combines to reality, but also combines with craft. Craft in the sense of the profession. And it also combines with theatre fiction. It is strange because theatre is not true, but it is true. Theatre is not real, but it is real. Theatre has a craft, and very few people think that it does. So in these days, I think what I want to find out is what this truth is. And I want to find it out through performances, demonstrations, talks, meetings. It also, the woman that has been reproduced on the window of Valhalla from one of Dorothea's paintings. I wanted to tell you some stories about journeys. I don't know why, and I don't know if they are part of what we will talk about, if they have anything to do with this truth. But there are two important journeys that I did just before transit. One was to Myanmar, Burma. We arrived there during the water festival. The water festival is like the new year for them. And they use water to wash away, some call them sins, some call them the nasty experiences of the year before. And it is amazing because they throw water all day, all night, at everyone. And of course it's warm, so it's all right. It would be more difficult here in Denmark. But people always answer to being completely drenched with a big smile. What impressed me was in the middle of our town, they have long hoses with water, I mean, not little drips of water, but water coming out. And usually there is some music, some people playing music or some recorded music, and people are holding the hoses and waving them about. And underneath are hundreds of people dancing and getting completely drenched, with children, old people, young people, and they're all dancing wildly. I think it's something that in Europe at least we've forgotten. We don't know how to do that anymore. At least we don't know how to do it with a smile. Maybe we take drugs, maybe we take alcohol, and we go wild. But there it was different. There it was only the joy of being together under the water. Seeing a child in this lake in the middle of the town, dancing with the father. Of course, I was thinking of all the rats and the cockroaches. The water was filthy. But there must be something that protects them against that. And I think that what protects them is this joy of being together and dancing. Before going there, I had seen a film about a woman whose father was killed when she was a girl. She went to study in England. She got married and had two children. Then her mother was ill, and she went back to her country. The country had protests were going on in the country, and many people were killed. her father had been a reference for these people, and suddenly she found herself to be the image of hope in a country under military dictatorship. She had to stay. She stayed for many years. Her children and her husband were allowed to visit her once. Her husband got ill with cancer. He was dying. She knew that if she left the country and went to see him, she would never be allowed back in the country. In Myanmar, they call her the lady. She has the name of her father, Aung San, and her own name, Suu Kyi. You probably have heard. While we were there, there was a lot of talk about the ethnic confrontations between different ethnic and religious groups. And many people were saying, why don't you take positions? Why don't you say something? There was a lot of criticism towards her. She was in Japan because she's preparing to be part of the government. And in an interview she said, perhaps you don't know that I am taking position because my actions are silent and small. Of course, transit was very much on my mind when I was there. I was making the program, changing the program, because of people coming and going and not coming and not going. And the day before leaving, I went to the main office of her party. It was a small garage, which reminded me very much of the places where I used to have political meetings in the 70s in Italy. Because of the water festival, it was holiday, there were not very many people there. But I said, I want to buy 100 t-shirts with her image as a present to those who I invite to transit. And we spent an hour trying to count and also trying to find the extra, extra large that fit us. Then I went to China. In China, I met a woman that I really would have liked to have here. Xin Qin, I'm not quite sure. She's one of the directors who works at the National Theatre of China. Maybe at the next transit she will come. When I spoke to her about the Magdalena Project, her eyes lit up as if she had suddenly found a gold mine. But in China, there was something else that I wanted to talk to you about. And it is this culture, which I have also met in Brazil, of the famous television, the telenovelas, as they call it in English, the soap operas. People would be introduced to the famous actress, the famous director. Eugenio suddenly became a playwright because playwrights are much more important than directors. And I was asking myself, what is this need for recognition? This need not from the person themselves, but to like say the other person is famous. I know this person. I've had photographs taken. I've had autographs. Where does this need come from? Why are we so insecure in our own identity that we have to create this strong image to identify with as something big and glorious? Why can't we find the strength in what is small and silent? In these days there's been a lot of crying. I know that Yaling is very good at getting everybody to cry. But I have felt like that many of the women still need to cry a lot. And it's strange because if I think back to the history of Magdalena, we always said that in the first festivals the women were crying. And then after 10 years, we were celebrating what we had achieved, and we were smiling while the men were crying. Especially remember Carlos crying. And we felt very proud because we had created a place where the men could cry and feel secure enough to cry. But the tears have come back. And it's probably because of that that I have chosen this theme of crisis. Partly because I need that everybody can share the tears. The tears is not something that you need to hide. The tears are many times our strength. I have written lots of articles about the power of vulnerability. The fact that women must rely on this power of being vulnerable and not try to be something else than what they are. But be able to share the tears, and maybe transform them into something else. Another journey. I went to Sarajevo. Once we were invited at a theater festival, and one of the commander, the general, who had defended the city during the siege, took us around the town. And at one point he became suddenly very happy. And he said, no, we must stop at this house. It's very important that we stop at this house. You must meet this woman. So we were on a minibus, we got off the minibus, and we were at a house. It was on one of the hills in Sarajevo, and she was there. And the general said to her, please tell your story. She was smiling, gentle. And she started telling about how her house had been bombed, of how she had to gather the pieces of the corpse of her two sons on the trees of her house. Because she had to demonstrate that her sons had died, so she had to take the pieces of these corpses to the hospital. She didn't cry at all. And she said this as if she was telling about going to buy the shopping. But then I understood the reason why the general had insisted so much. She had got married again and had had another child. And the child had started going to a school where there were both Muslims and Christians. And she was very happy with her new son. I always think of her when I see theatre performances where actors are suffering. And for me, she's a big lesson in what truth is. In the first day we met for the Odin, the Odin presented by its women, I asked Sophia to do one of Eben's exercises out of balance, and I called it risk, crisis, invention. And then all the participants made the exercise. And the exercise developed and changed, and there were lots of new things. But in particular, I wanted Selene to show you what she did.
Thank you. all of you.
Risk, righteous, and vengeance. The structure of this transit has been a bit different than others. And for the first time, I've had people arriving every day and people leaving. And it seemed strange because usually people came in one day and we could present each other and everybody was there and everybody got to know each other. And then at one point they would go. But this time, partly because I wanted the symposiums, which are starting today, it has been divided in four parts. And we had the first part with Odin presented by its women, because I know, so I'm going to start. I know that many come here also to get to know the Odin. And then I had the workshops, because I find it fundamental that we create references, women, masters, with the workshops. We have the symposiums, the 2 days of talks, and then we have the more festival days. Just to give information to those who have arrived today, I have Selene, who is responsible for the documentation. If you have anything that you have written or want to write, or particular thoughts, go to Selene. We have people who are responsible for the videos and for the photographs, so that not everybody is doing that. And you, they have been put, many photographs are online, both on the Odin website and on the Magdalena website. So you can choose photographs that you would like to have, and then we can find out how to get copies. The videos, Chiara and Ilaria are very busy also making interviews. During the festival part, we have some time which is called input from the participants. Usually I have one day in which the participants show something. This time I have put it in the program itself, and there are three times which are dedicated to the participants, and it is Carolina, Stenda, and Camilla, who are responsible, and I think they've already made a program that you can see. We will have every morning some practical work. It started with Cain this morning. And I've chosen this time that Cain would do the time every morning instead of changing who did the kind of warm-up, so that you can develop something with her. I worked with Cain at the transit, at the Tantidatri Mandalika Festival in India, organized by Parvati, and I came up with Cain, as others have done also. And then we will work with voice with Helen, so that Helen can also develop some singing over the days. And Helen has also offered that if you get very tired with sitting, which you will in these 2 days, she can shake you up. So if any of the speakers have some minutes left, they can say, Helen, shake the people up. Then we have the talks, the symposium, and the stories, the shorter stories, to give a possibility also to tell of some experiences around the theme. We have many work in progress. performances, and of course we need to keep on time because of that, and I am already running out of time, and we have to take care of the space in which we are, so we have to take care of the cleaning, and I think you already know about that. Risk. Work in progress. There are many work in progress, and whenever one presents a work in progress, one is taking a risk. That is for sure. Because you are presenting in front of spectators, and you are not ready. You are absolutely not ready. But the important thing of a work in progress is that it is a step along the way, and it helps you very much in understanding what direction the work has to take. The performance I did last night, Ave Maria, has had many work in progress shows at Magdalena Festival. So it is an important moment. Risk, some of the examples of risk come from particular political situations. And here for me it has been important to invite I have known Oksana many, many, many years, and I have always wanted to bring her here. Of course, it's difficult because she's a big group. But they come from a country where many things are not allowed. So to come here is like this little bubble of oxygen that I think is important. And I ask you, they're not so good at English, but if you have a little bit of time, please go and talk with them. Also, there are performances like Seeds of Memory with Anna Wolf that present political situations which involve risk. Then I was fascinated by the fact that Ophelia has come back. We've had festivals where Medea was present. But now it's Ophelia. And of course, Lucia Sander has one of my favorite lines in theater, which is, born a woman, or born girl, learn to swim. Which with Ophelia, I think, is... Ophelia is also present in the performance of Teatro Atlante in Italy, in reference also to power struggles and questions which have to do with the mafia, which I know are present in many other countries, not just in Italy. But this Ophelia, this character who is gentle, soft, I wonder if it has to do with the power of vulnerability which is trying to express itself through the performances. Prayer, silence, poetry, love. There is a lot of that in this transit. A need for silence, a need for prayer, a need for love, and a need for poetry in our performances. Jill, and maybe she'll talk about it, but she couldn't say this, but I remember when she was presenting the performance of The Throat of Silence in Cuba to Magdalena, organized by Rosana. She said that maybe theatre has become the church, the place where one can be silent together. Old age is very present in the performances. You've seen Esther's book. The performance of Interact has to do with old age. In a way, also Sandra Pazzini's performance has to do with that. Illness. One of the performances I wanted to invite but couldn't, also because of economical problems, is a performance by Danpai Tanis in the United States. She had a stroke and she's made a performance about that. How one gets over an experience of that kind through the theatre work. War. We have love on one side, we have war. And war is present partly through Cain. I don't know if you've had the chance to read the article that Cain wrote, in which he talks about her country after the Second World War, and where people didn't want to be Japanese any longer, and that she felt a big need to re-find her Japanese tradition. So her performances are also a reaction to war, in the same way as the performance by Dark Theater is. And then Risk will be the last performance with Jana Korp, who I've never met, and she will be hanging on a trapeze. And that was an image I wanted to give. Crisis. When I chose this word, the first reaction I got was, how can I speak about my crisis when there are things happening in the world which are so much more serious? We have, all of us, have our small tragedies. In fact, of course, being fat is not something that you can compare with somebody who's living in war. But still, there are people who suffer so much that arrived to kill themselves because of something so simple. Divorce, losing a friend. Feeling lonely. These are all part of our small tragedies that we have to confront every day. They are part of our crisis. And there are two performances that gather around a glass of wine. We saw Rosanna yesterday, who was having a glass of wine with Patricia. And we will see Chili and Maria. And what is this glass of wine? It is the need to be together, knowing that out there are problems that we cannot solve, and that we should not even try to solve. Because what we must do are the small, silent actions. And sometimes drinking a glass of wine is exactly that. We, most of us, are privileged. We have chosen what we do. Theatre, art, performance, writing, directing, organizing. And we should never forget that we are privileged. Every time that we are in the deepest crisis, we have to remember that we have chosen what we're doing. I have a cigar at home, which I received in a factory in Cuba, where there were many women sitting together making cigars. And when I spoke to some of them who had not even been to the capital, La Habana, and I wondered about what was the sense in their lives, having children, educating their children, earning the money that they needed for their families. I took the cigar to remember how privileged I am. And every time that I am desperate in my performance work, I remember the cigar. I have chosen. Theatre is drama, needs drama. Theatre needs the crisis. It has to be there. Without that crisis, the work would never have value. Crisis is the most positive word in the combination of risk, crisis, invention. Invention is negative for me. Partly when I saw the exercises the first day, I saw that the part which was the invention was the less interesting. Nothing was happening. When they were risking, something happened. When they fell, something happened. But when they had to get to the invention, mostly nothing happened. So we should do something about that. I remember at the beginning of the month, I was talking about a work demonstration, The Dead Brother, which I also presented. And in explaining how the work demonstration came about, I said, I invented the explanations. There is something artificial about invention. It is like it doesn't come out organically from the work, but it is something that one puts on afterwards. Often in our performances, it is the theme. It is the meeting with the spectator. How does one put together what is the starting point, the risk, the necessity to do a work with the spectator? How does one create this relationship? It is one of the parts that I still find weak in our work. And in this transit, we don't have time to give feedback about the performances officially, because I am always afraid that words will kill, and one has to be very careful when talking about work. That is why the symposiums are here, but also I ask everyone with each other about the performances, about your reactions, about what you see, because this is always very useful for those who have worked. Invention came from the needs of a word like creativity, but I think I've discovered that part of it is a lie. To invent is also to lie. And of course that fits a bit strangely with my need of truth. This time we've had few participants. When I ask the young people why we've had few participants, I am told that it is because of the economical crisis. I don't believe that that is true, because young people have never had money. So it's as if the young people are somewhere else. Where are they? What are they doing? What are the young women doing? Are they still in that place where they say they don't need feminism anymore because all has been done by grandmothers? I think we all need a lot of feminism now in a very different way. We've become much stronger as women. We've occupied the space. We have fought for what we want for ourselves, also in theatre. There are many more women directing. There are many more women organizing festivals and inviting other performances. But it is as if this strength that we have found has created a big imbalance. We've gone out of balance. We are taking a risk that we have to take. We cannot not take it. We cannot be good like our grandmothers were at home. We have to take this risk and occupy our space. But that creates an imbalance to which many are responding with violence. It's as if people don't know how to find their place anymore. Men, many men, don't know how to react. Some cry, but others take, use knives. And we have to keep on risking our lives because we can't go back. But we have to know that this is creating violence. And I was very surprised. The other day at home, I had Parvati for supper with others, and we were talking about the situation in India with the women that have been raped and killed. And Parvati said they should be hanged. Now, of course, there are many people that would say something like this to the men who have raped and killed a little girl should be hanged. To hear this from Parvati is very, very strong, because she is violent and she is part of this culture where the word love still has a big meaning. When I went to India to Ramakalena, people were not afraid of talking, of saying the word love. And so we are risking and we are occupying our space, but we are doing it with a big sense of love. We do it because we love the women and the men. We love the planet where we are. This transit has done a small miracle. In Hostagro, there is a house which is called the Crisis Center. It is a place where women can go when they run away from violent situations in their homes. It is a place that up until 2 days ago, 3 days ago, was completely closed because of protecting the women who are there. One should not know who they are, where they are. When Patricia said that she wanted to do the Passarella here in Holstebro, at first I was very doubtful, because I know that in Latin America the passion with which one can make political one's own personal private life is much more usual. In Denmark, a crisis center is hidden. One does not know that it exists. One does not know that in Denmark there are men ill-treating their wives, their daughters. One does not speak about that. So I had a few exchange of letters with Patricia, trying to explain the very different way one talks here. And the other day, Sophia came home from after the workshop. Sophia is helping Patricia with the translation. And she said that Karin, the woman who is responsible for the crisis center, wants the workshop to go and visit the house. That is something enormous. It's the miracle that transit has done. So we come back to Erika, where we started. Manuela said we have to continue to do our work. We have to continue taking these risks, occupying our space. We have to share our crisis. And we have to invent a new world. And here I cry because it's impossible that Augusto has been killed by somebody who had a knife. So now we take a pause, and I will make only a very short introduction to the symposium so that I don't occupy the time that I don't have. But I think we just all need a moment to go out and come back. Selene has put now on the door the order of who is speaking and the times. We are already 35 minutes late.
Great.
Not everybody. nobody manages to stay sitting down for 8 hours. So the door is open, and one can go in and out, not like with performances and workshops. But, of course, try and do it discreetly, if you have to go in and out. Try and use the beginnings and endings of a person talking, not in the middle. Because there will be some moments in which one has to put videos in, so you can use them. Very, very short. The title of this symposium for me came from a discussion which I often have with Jill, which has to do with theatre. Mm. I think Jill would say something like, I hate theatre.
I like that.
Okay. It's something to do also with interpreting a character. The fact of the fiction, that you create a fiction differently from just being present or working just with the presence. So I was interested in hearing between what is in between these two, the just being and the interpreting a character, so pretending to be somebody else. Of course, these two extremes in fact meet in our work, we know that, but sometimes it can be useful to see the differences, to talk about the differences. That was one side. The other is that very harsh reality which is outside, and how we deal with it in our art, in our work. So how do we transform that reality for our work? And to do this, I also asked two people that are not directly working with theatre, Kirsten Eustason and Dr. Kerkel, to talk about their work as a sculptor and painter, so that we can also have other points of view on the same problematic. There is a list of people talking. I'm not going to introduce them because you have it in your papers who they are, and they will probably do it themselves. But we'll start with, yeah.
Hello, everybody. So we live in the times of this big worldwide economical crisis. When we translate it in my language, the short name for it is Svetska ekonomska kriza, which in my language means a girl, a little girl. And this is immediately something that comes to my mind, how I'm used to deal with a crisis in my country, because without the humor, we wouldn't survive. And this is something that we learned living in a very hellish country through all these years.
Yeah.
I think that this world economical crisis, as it is obviously very real and very serious for many people, losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing everything, on the other hand, serves as a tool for fear. And I think that I may be free to say that because I lived in the country for over two decades now, where we live a permanent crisis. So when Julia asks where the young people today, I think that many of them are scared. I think that they are scared, and this is something that these kind of meetings, the transit festival, the festivals we organize, we attend, we perform at, our work, go against. And this is why maybe more than ever it is so important to meet here. And for that I want to thank to Julia and to all people that made this transit possible. And this is something that they keep telling, because in my theater we were 3 days, 2 days late to come here, because we had a group of American students that came to work with us. So they proved, they beat, and it's very expensive to come from America to Serbia. They are young people that have loans, that live in a very insecure situation, very isolated. And here they are, Belgrade. And so I complimented them, because I think that it is extremely, extremely important to reason and to find a way to meet nowadays. I will speak shortly about 6 points, if I have time. And the first one is the title, first one, it is never the right time. So it is never the right time to do the work. It is never the right time to form the group, theater group. There are never incredible conditions that you gather, and voila, we work there. So I learned that 22 years ago when I co-founded my group. And very very safe, I won't say privileged, but very safe position of the theater director. I graduated from the traditional theater academy. And automatically, I was able to have the work in the institutional theater with all the hierarchical power that it includes. And the director was very, and still is very powerful in this kind of theater. And after very shortly working in that kind of theater, me and my colleague Jadran Franjic risked to say no to the theater institutions. And still today, some very influential people are very angry at me and at staff because we said no. But we just knew that we had to do the work without the money, without the space, without the right conditions, without the actors. And we started. And we are still living this risk. It never became secure. It never became safe. My group is all the time on the edge of huge financial crisis. And very often we do have that Friday. And I don't know if it's invention that comes after the prizes often in my group. But we manage to exist. Because we don't know differently. This is what we wish to choose. In 1992, when we went to the streets to perform the first, what after was called the first anti-war performance in my country, anti-war performance. And this is the title of the second short story. It's we were very fortunate in very unfortunate situation. In tragic situation of the Civil War. Like many of my people, I intensively thought about leaving the country. Because I was thinking that maybe I was contributing to dictatorship if I was staying there. But then my colleagues and myself risked to create the performance. And to come to the streets of Belgrade. In the very militant situation, in a war that was happening, initiated by our government, in the war that was happening, initiated by our government, while officially we lived through total censorship and denial. While officially we lived through the censorship and denial. We were young, completely unknown group. And the only strength that we had was our practice. What were the very few years that we worked. Some tools and techniques that we gathered. And we trusted that those tools and techniques would be a shield for us. We are very a loud culture. People are talkative. Streets are busy. People are very opinionated. And we never expected silence when we were confronted by the audience. I will never forget the first night. It was the only outdoors rehearsal that we had. Because we couldn't rehearse outdoors that kind of a piece. Then suddenly the four actors, three actresses and an actor, went on the street, beginning to speak the anti-war poetry of Bertolt Brecht. Surrounded by police, by paramilitary, by military, people in uniforms, passers-by, and so on. And in that moment, Jadrinka, my co-director, and myself thought we are crazy. What did we do? I was completely scared. And I had this responsibility that I was... I felt a huge responsibility about my actors. What happened was that for days and days as we were performing this piece, nothing bad happened to us. On the contrary, people were coming, thanking, saying that finally they heard the words they couldn't hear elsewhere. That was the moment when I decided finally to stay in my country. That put me in peace with my co-citizens. And for a young theater group, being in this very tragic, unfortunate situation, strangely enough, we were extremely fortunate to immediately get incredible feedback from the audience that we were needed. And I think this is the best thing that can happen to the young theater group. The third is the power of not knowing. In 1999, we were in Australia for the Magdalena Festival, performing. The bombing of our country started. The bombing of our country started. We decided to perform and to go back to our home. And then we came back and we started to work on the new production. So what was the scariest part of that situation for me? That it involved the biggest risk was not so much that we were coming back to the country that was under the bomb. Of course it was scary and terrible. And it was not that much that we were under daily air raids. Air raids. But when I felt that I was taking a real risk was to enter into the working room with my actors and as director to say we should create a new piece, but I don't know what will it be about. I don't know what to do at all. It's a really risky position for a director. Or at least this is what I thought believed. And I was not sure will they leave the working room. Would they be scared, confused? But they just kept on doing their daily trainings. And that performance, Documents of Times, there are also two actresses, Sanja Krsmanović-Tasić, that is here today, and another, Aleksandra Jelić, were part of, was created during the very, very violent times, very loud, physically loud times. It's the sound of the blast. It's the sound of the air raids. It's the silence of the fear. In the middle of that chaos, we created a performance that we performed maybe 10 years in, after that. I mean, during the 10 years, all around the world. Two performance about two very, very, very old ladies being somewhere on some staircases, speaking about the 20th century and the time. So the very risky decision from my side, to be honest to my actresses then, and to say that I don't have a clue, led to eventually through the process of the rehearsals to the piece, to the performance. That actually was very, very gentle and very silent performance that was bringing hope. It was very gentle and very silent performance that was bringing hope. I would like to share with you two moments from that period. I was invited by a group of women, groups, and Zoe is here. She was one of those women that invited me, Zoe Gudovic, to do during the bombing the workshop of with women, simply to work theater techniques in that time with women. To work during that time with women, time of bombing, yes, to work with women. Obviously, we gathered, we were scared, we were tired, we had sleepless nights, we were angry, all of that. We started to work, slowly. And then suddenly we heard the siren that was announcing the air raid. And those sirens were our real enemies. It was almost the physical impact that we would have. Like you felt like vomiting when you would hear the siren, because we knew then the bombing would start. And it stopped working. It was this huge siren and we couldn't hear each other. We stopped working. And I was looking what to do. So I'm here to somehow empower them. I'm here to share this time to make us stronger, and here I am paralyzed with this siren. And suddenly all women started to scream loud. And they were louder than the siren. And it was this scream of life and of power. It was very clear that we won. And another situation, and it was another moment of the sitting in cafe during that time, in the big cafe sitting. And there was another blast, so somewhere it was the bomb fell, and it was the huge sound and shaking. And the cafes during that time were full of people. We were gathering all the time. And it was this terrible sound and shaking, and suddenly all conversation stopped. In a few seconds, and in another second, everybody started to laugh. So it was this shared laughter that I will never forget. When we started to travel a lot to United States, we met the whole network of people doing the peace building and the theater. Many of them came from the peace building. They didn't have anything to do with art. Peace building.
How do you translate?
And then they connected with artists. And now there is a very big network of people doing the peace building in the theater. And many of those people, of these builders, are theoreticians and scholars. Also going to the area where there is the conflict. And from them, for the first time, I heard the word risk. That obviously the peace building involves risk. Last week, my group and me was invited and we went to Kosovo. Kosovo is a new country, and once upon a time it was the part of Yugoslavia, then Serbia. And then in 2008 it declared independence. 2008. After the years of the war and after the indescribable crimes that Serbian military and paramilitary were doing there. Today it is an independent country with majority of Albanian people in there, Albanian, with very few enclaves of Serbian people, now living under the constant threat. So the situation is complex for us coming from Serbia going there. The festival Pan Patal was organized, and I found it incredible, titled festival. It was the first festival of women, art, and human rights organized in Kosovo. And organizers took a risk to organize the first women's festival in very traditional patriarchal society. It is our third time coming to Kosovo in the last 15 years. 15. And it's never easy to go there. Because we knew what our people did there in our name. It's also not completely safe for us to go there. In 2007, when we went with our performance, The Story of Tea, two musicians, our permanent collaborators, refused to go. They were scared. We said, okay, we are going to tape you and we are going to go. And so we only met the most incredible people there. We were ready to speak English because we knew that on the sound of Serbian language many people could have problems, even traumas. Many people that approached us, when they heard that we were Serbians, they would automatically switch to Serbian with no problem. And they told us that many of them told me that they still remember the times when we were one country.
and they regret for everything that happened. And if it was not for the theater, if it was not for taking the risk and coming with theater there, we would never knew that. And we would be never able to transmit that to our people back home. On Saturday you will see the performance Crossing the Line. On Saturday you will see the performance Crossing the Line. I will not speak about it because there is no time. But that performance involved many risks on many levels. And we can speak about it after. And I would like to finish this talk with the words of my colleague and actress that is from the beginning in Dach. Maya Vujovic, that is somewhere here. I was almost afraid that she was not there because she heard me speaking a million of times.
I'm watching you.
And she said in her working process demonstration that she created years ago, she said something that really stayed with me. That in a very insecure country, in insecure financial situation, in very unsafe, unsecured the form of art, that is theater, she felt very secure, she felt very safe. And this is something that I share with her all these years. Thank you.